everybody. Welcome back. Today I'm joined by Tyler Kupar and Ryan Wellman. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Well, hello, I'm Ryan Wellman, formerly known as the editor of the iCast, varsity basketball broadcaster here. Spread my wisdom of the game. Very excited to be on finally. Thank you, Blake, for having me.
And I'm just excited to be back. Haven't been on here since last semester, and I'm excited to get this one going.
Yeah, great to have both you guys. So as Wellman said, we do have a new editor, Alex Belser. Alex, if you're listening to this, well, I know you're gonna edit it, but thank you. Your first two episodes were great. I've had a couple people come up to me and say they like the editing, so thank you for that. And another cool fact, all the music you hear in these podcasts is produced by him, so very talented man. I'll let Wellman talk about the basketball team a little bit now.
All right, so yeah, basketball season is going pretty solid so far. I mean, anybody can see that they've been playing a little bit inconsistent. We saw last game against Benedictine, it was senior night, so, you know, Cats, we have a very good history against Benedictine always, and last year we blew them out by nearly 30 at Benedictine. You know, we've sort of had that sort of same trend for the past few years. So it was a great night for senior night, actually. We saw, like, Owen Maruka, who honestly hasn't really had a lot of playing time this year, came in, played the entire game pretty much, had 17 points, 6 rebounds, just played all around really efficiently. He was throwing down dunks, lobs. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we did see Braden, unfortunately, getting hurt in that first quarter, which I believe he coming back this week, if not next week. Unfortunate to see him get injured in such a, I mean, I don't want to say meaningless because no game is really meaningless, but a game with less in stake. But yeah, I mean, again, just pretty solid season. We've seen guys like Ace Buckner, who is just really playing out of his mind. He's got 200 points in the season so far. We're nearly halfway through. I mean, we'll definitely see him like entering the 1,000 club as a varsity player next year. Guys like Damon Fryer, who is a sophomore, who he really heated up, especially when we went down to Vegas, which was just so much fun. Great opportunity to be down there. He really started to heat up. I mean, we saw him 9 points against Coronado and then just really exploding against a team like St. Augustine, who's, you know, one of the best teams in the country. 13 points for him there. And then St. V's, I remember watching that game and just 24 points. He shot 100% from beyond the arc, 4 for 4. Just that's when I really knew, like, all right, this kid is going to be doing some stuff in the program. Obviously, looking ahead, this week, we're playing Buckdell on Saturday. We usually don't play Buckdell. First time playing them since 98. We played them down in Columbus in the regional semis, I believe. That game was actually pretty interesting. I was talking to Mr. Becker about it, former coach for the Cats. He said that, actually, during that Buckdell game, Cats were up by so much, and Buckdell had, like, one of, like, the top three players in the state on their team, and we were blowing them out. It was a tight game. We were up by, like, 5 or 6, something like that. Fourth quarter, a fan, a mom of Buckdell, one of the Buckdell players, throws a soda onto the court at the Cats, and the soda just explodes everywhere. Game has to be stopped in the fourth quarter. Cats come up, win by, I think, like, 8 or 9. So it should be interesting when we obviously usually don't play them. I mean, seeding for the playoffs is going to be done either this week or next week. So we do face Eds next Friday, which will be
big game right there.
Very big game. Especially, I mean,
yeah, hopefully not a repeat.
Thinking, like, you could say it's a big game, sure, but at the same time, it's really, again, not to say that any games are meaningless, but seedings is already done by this point, so I feel like Coach Flannery for Eds is just going to sort of just go out there and see what Coach Cam does, and it's going to be unfortunate because the leverage that the Eagles have now over us, you know, after that first big win, like seeing how Coach Cam adjusts after watching the film for that first game, Flannery's just going to take those adjustments that he made and just, like, we know that we're going to play Eds in the playoffs, most likely, if we keep advancing. Like, we're going to have to face them at some point in the playoffs. So Flannery, I mean, if we do see the Cats win, I could definitely see Flannery just playing a more casual game of basketball, maybe like a half-court trap, something like that, and just like letting Coach Cam try to like make moves, and then Flannery in the next game in the playoffs will just counter those moves now that he already knows them.
The full-court press, back to like the game, at the Eds Ignatius game when Eds was at home, their full-court press, I mean, that first quarter, they just dominated us. I mean, it was insane. What? How many points did they have in the first quarter? Like, what? Like, over 25?
30 points. Or 30, that's 24 ins- points in the first
insane.
Quarter.
That's insane. They're almost averaging 100 points in a... I mean, they almost did score 100 points,
86
too.
86 points was the final total.
Which is just insane. And you just... I think we just got out-coached in that game the first time.
100%, yeah. I mean, and just, you know, players just not playing up to, you know, how they should be. We saw, you know, 14 turnovers for that game, 5 for somebody like Ace Buckner, who's, you know, Cat's primary ball handler. They need to rely on Ace to be able to get that ball up the court, and just 5 turnovers. I mean, Coach Cam has always been saying, like, we really need to have more primary ball handlers on the court with Ace at the same time. And we've really seen, I mean, past couple games, Carter Jackson's really stepped up into that role really well. And also just scoring. I mean, we saw against Hoover, I mean, he had 7. And against Huntington Prep, he had 16. He led the Cats that night with Ace. I think just, like, him stepping up in these past couple games has just been such a big, like, relief to Ace. And, I mean, same thing with Damon being able to come in as, you know, a guy with more size and being able to carry the ball a little better. And one guy not to count out ever is Zapolnik. I mean, being able to come in off the bench and really be that primary ball handler for the Cats, he just plays such a big role And that's just really something they need to focus on.
I think, like, the big one in the playoffs would be, like, Saponic, Friary. Their first time going to the playoffs, I mean, like, Ace and Carter, Braden, they've all been there. They've all been in the Final Four, I mean, 2 years in a row. But it's the younger guys that we're really going to need to count on to step up in these big moments, because they're going to happen. I mean, every game in the playoffs is going to have a big moment. So we just need these younger guys to step up and hopefully deliver.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, Damon, I feel like, will be able to step up in that role, because we saw him against St. B's, you know, number one team in the state, you know, been one of the best teams in the state for years. Stepping up in 24 points and 4 rebounds. I mean, set the team high for individual points scored in a game for this season so far. I mean, just all around really good play so far. I will say I am a little nervous for Friday, because next Friday, because, you know, after that poor performance from the Cats in the first game, I just hate to see something like that happen again. And then again, just Coach Flannery being able to use what Coach Cam adjusts to. And this next game coming up is going to be really something deadly in the playoffs when we do come across heads.
Yeah, I got a couple of takes here. First, I think I'd just like to see the Cats be a lot more consistent. Wellman said earlier, they have been inconsistent all season. You don't like to see that in a basketball team. Second, I think Lutheran West is an underdog to win the state title. I have a friend on Lutheran West. I know Wellman doesn't think that. I'd like to see him go far. Tony, if you're listening to this, go out there, shock the world. And finally, if they do lose to Eds, yes, obviously you don't want to lose the game. I think if we do lose that game, it's very hard to beat a team three times. It's hard to beat a team twice, much less three times. I think if we do play them in the playoffs, Eds is going to be very confident, as they should. But I don't know, I might like that. I might like that situation for the Cats.
I think we have a better roster, would you say, that Wellman than Eds? I mean,
I definitely say so, talent-wise. Yeah. Just Coach Flannery's been coaching there, I believe, for like 30 years, almost something like that. 13-0 so far this season, even with the loss of like Michael Bova, you know, who's a four-year varsity player, somebody who, you know, will score you all those points in every game and be that guy for you for 4 years straight.
And Jair Knight, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, still being able to play it at a high level is just... it's so impressive. I mean, obviously, Eagles do have a great basketball program over there, but I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing Coach Cam so far in his fourth season as head coach, you know, really developing these younger guys like Ace and Carter. I mean, Ace has sort of went from a more of a pass-first point guard to dominant ball-handling scorer, just, you know, shoot at will kind of guy. Same thing with Carter. I mean, start of the season, he did start off a little slow. He did have a surgery on his lung, I believe, so that set him out for a couple of games. But now he's really picked up the pace, and he's scoring a lot.
Yeah, I hope to see the Cats go into that state tournament and come out state champions. As our guest here, Juan, was the 2022 12th grade chess state champion. Thank you for joining us.
Of course, I'm happy to be here.
So I'll start off, what got you into chess?
Sure, so it was mostly my dad. I got into chess when I was 12. I did a chess camp, and after that I became uninterested, and then I joined a tournament. And after that one tournament, I've had such a great experience that I decided to pick it up again.
Yeah, so that leads me to my next question. How do you stay motivated? I know for me, when I'm playing chess, even more than just one game, it just gets really repetitive. It's like, okay, I don't want to keep doing this. How do you stay motivated? And how long is your average practice session?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I guess I love chess. I have quite big aspirations for chess. I want to become a grandmaster one day. So I guess that's my motivation. And I practice, well, with school, it's quite hard to practice a lot. But I tend to always aim for at least 30 minutes to an hour each day. If not, for example, in the weekends, I like to try and go for 2 or 3 hours.
When you say practice, are you doing puzzles or just playing games?
I'm doing everything. I do puzzles, tactics, opening theory, and games too.
Games. Okay. So moving on to the state tournament, what is the format like for that and how many people are in that?
Sure. So yeah, the state tournament is basically a tournament for all people in Ohio, from each grade level, from K through 12. In my grade level, I think there was only about, 7 people there. So not a lot of people, I think 10. 10. Tournaments tend to be quite long. I think that tournament was 60 minutes. So it was quite a long tournament. However, my rating surpassed most of the others' ratings. So I felt quite confident going into that tournament.
Do you have to qualify for that tournament, or can you sign up and join?
No, you can just sign up and join.
Are you scouting your possible opponents? Are you looking at their openings? Are you looking at their game? Or are you just going in and playing whoever you play?
It depends. I've had experiences where I did look up my opponent's rating and prepared against him. I remember there's one tournament in North Carolina where I basically played the whole entire game out from my opening theory from what I prepared against him and won that game. But sometimes when I search up their names, they usually do not come up, or some of them have like other accounts where they do not have their name on it just so that they can not have other people prepare against them. So I guess it really depends on the person whether I can actually search them up or not.
Leading up to the tournament, what are you doing? Are you doing mental reps? And then during the tournament, what are you doing during the breaks?
Yeah, it's such an interesting story. So before that tournament, my last tournament was 2021 in North Carolina, where I had a really bad result. I played really good, in my opinion. When I checked with computer engines and all that, it looked like I had a pretty good game. However, I scored 3.5 out of 9, so overall my performance was not very good compared to my play. So I guess I was kind of bummed out and did not play a tournament until the States. I wasn't preparing too much. I mostly focused on colleges and all that good stuff. But I guess a month before the tournament, I started to finally prepare. I basically did what I normally do. I study tactics. I study opening theory. I do all that. And I wasn't really too like, so sometimes I tend to be quite serious when it comes to tournaments. But here in this tournament, I just tried to be a bit laid back and just try to focus and do my best.
So you said you weren't very nervous. You were laid back for this.
Yeah, a bit laid back. Yeah.
When you're going into a game where you are feeling nervous, you're nervous, how are you going to calm those nerves? I know for me, at least, when I'm playing a more physical sport like basketball, I get nervous obviously before the game. But then once the game starts, I'm moving. I'm not thinking about really why I'm nervous. But in a sport like chess, I think it's all mental. I feel like you could be nervous the entire game. Are you? And if not, how do you combine?
Oh, yeah. It's hard. I've gotten nervous a lot of times before. I'd say definitely sometimes my confidence isn't always up there, which is why I lose a couple of my games. But sometimes I just try to walk around. That's a method that you can use. Sometimes whenever I feel like my brain's kind of stuck, I just go up, walk around, see other people's chessboards, go back to mine, kind of like just refresh my brain, and then just play again.
Going into your championship match, how long was this match?
The match took almost a whole day. It was from like 10 a.m. to like 6 p.m., 7 p.m.
So how are you staying locked in that entire time?
I don't know. I was just like, I knew a couple of people there. So I guess whenever I wasn't playing a game, I was just analyzing with them and just having some fun. It was really fun. I know a lot of people from Ohio who are great players. So whenever I get to practice with them or analyze games with them, it tends to kind of relieve my pain, my stress from all the other games that I have in that tournament.
Who's like the best person or like most like competitive game you've ever had?
Well, once I played against a grandmaster in Georgia. I lost that game, but it was quite a good game. We talked afterwards and it was nice. But that was my best game that I've had against the highest rated opponent.
I'm sure, as you know, we do have another state chess champion here that mm-hmm. we also interviewed on this show, Daesun Kim. Have you played him? If so, what was that like?
I have, yeah. He's a very great player. I played him only in the chess club. I've never played him in an actual tournament. We have quite similar ratings. I think I'm a bit higher than him. I'm not sure, though. I haven't checked for a while. But yeah, no, we've played, I think, a couple games before. I think I'm up so far in our games, but maybe that might not be so in the next couple of weeks. But no, yeah, he's a great player all around.
When you realized you were going to win the state chess championship, was that more relief or happiness?
I think it was both. When I first went to a tournament, I saw the players and I knew I was the top seed. So obviously, I was quite confident about that. When I went to a tournament, I was quite laid back. I knew that my opponents were not high rated, although sometimes when it comes to kids, a lot of them are quite underrated. So obviously, I was a bit skeptical about that. But after, I think, my third round, I knew that there was a really good chance that I can win the tournament.
How did you celebrate after?
I went back home. I didn't really celebrate it. I was just like exhausted from all that games that I played. So I just went home, I think watched a movie, and then just went to sleep.
Even for me, I'll play one game and then I'll feel like I have to take like a 10-minute break from doing anything like involving my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into some more general questions about chess, knight or bishop?
That's hard. So I've had a couple of encounters with many grandmasters and masters in general. One of them that I saw, that I heard was quite interesting, is that a bishop is technically better. And they even gave it a number. Statistically, they say it's like 3.1 or something like that. And then a knight's like 2.9, even though technically they're both 3 points. I would say the bishop, but if we're getting to like chess terms, the bishop is always better in an open position and the knight's always better in closed positions.
Can you, I don't think a lot of people know what that is. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So an open position basically is when the chessboard is quite open, so there's not a lot of pieces blocking other pieces. And a closed position is where the pieces are blocking each other and it's not very open.
So I'm sure you've noticed this. I know I have. At Ignatius, everybody is on chess.com. Everybody's playing chess during class. Everybody's playing chess just all the time. Why do you think this big uptick in chess?
I am quite happy to hear that. I remember when I came to Ignatius first year, I saw maybe one or two people playing chess.com. But now here my senior year, I see like hundreds of people playing like every single day, and it's just amazing to see that. Obviously, there's a couple of, I think, things that kind of inspired that. For example, I know during COVID, Hikaru Nakamura was a very famous streamer that a lot of people kind of got inspiration from. And then I think after that, people started to finally play chess a lot, and a lot of big streamers like Mr. Beast and so on. This Ludwig, for example, played chess too. So I feel like kind of them kind of inspired other people in the world to also play chess.
I think it's like one of those games also where it's like, I've always been playing, but I'm not like nowhere near or whatever, but I've always been like kind of near one. But I think it's one of those games where it's like, especially chess.com, it makes it so easy. It's like hop online. This kind of gets your mind set on something. This makes you like focus and just kind of like fun just to play, even especially if you win or something. It's like, and then you also don't need to be like insanely physical athlete going against other people. You always are rated against people that are right at your skill level. So it's always like a competitive game. You're never going to be getting blown out by one person or the other.
Right.
Going back to that rating, Juan, what is your chess.com rating?
My chess.com, I think, I have not played for a while. I'm actually more into Lee Chess, which is another website for chess. There's, I think, three main ones. There's Lee Chess, chess.com, of course, and chess24. But in chess.com, I think my rating is like 2200. Wow. And then for Lee Chess, I got up to 2,400 for Rapid, and I got up to almost 2,500 for Bullet.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, the average chess.com rating is about 900, somewhere around there. I think I'm at 700, so I'm below average, but yeah. I mean, I think you guys can tell just by the way he talks. He definitely knows what he's talking about.
And Bullet is like two-minute games, right?
Minute.
It's, yeah, somewhat a minute.
Minute.
Yeah.
What's your favorite mode on chess.com?
I don't know. I think I like every mode. I'm more of a thinker, as people tell me. I tend to think more than others. That's why usually when I'm ever in a tournament, I tend to be in time pressure quite a lot. I like every mode, but I think definitely Rapid is my favorite one.
For me, I think I gotta go Blitz, but I'm mainly playing during class, I'm not going to lie. I'm just trying to get a quick game. And there's been a couple times where I was playing a 10-minute game in class, and we had to do like some assignment, and I had to quit when I was up 5-6 points, and that just rubbed me the wrong way. So now I'm sticking to Blitz.
Yeah.
Moving on, last year you became an American citizen. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because I think most Americans have no idea what that process is like, what people have to do, and I think in general, just help people appreciate what
right. You
had to go through.
Yeah, so for me, it was quite easier. So I didn't have to do anything at all. It was mostly my parents. So to become a citizen, you have to take a test, and my parents took that test, and they both passed it. So I guess you can say technically once they pass it and they become citizens, I technically become a citizen too. However, it became official last year. All I did was, once they passed it, they got their citizenship, but then it became official, like I said, last year, and I had to just go into Cleveland and take an oath.
So you moved here from Peru. How old were you?
I was five.
You're five. What do you think the hardest thing to adjust to was?
Definitely the English language. Although it wasn't too hard for me, I feel like when you're at a younger age and you come to another country or place, it's a bit more easier than someone who's older. For example, my parents, so we always speak Spanish at home, and there are times where my parents still are a bit not so involved with all the English language words. And so I feel like, for example, I learned it and picked it up quite quickly because I was younger than, for example, my parents.
Why don't you tell the people a little bit about Peru? What's it famous for? What's it like living there?
Sure, absolutely. I went back to Peru 2015, but for me, obviously the food was amazing. My favorite dish to this day is ceviche, which is considered the most popular dish in Peru. It's basically fish, onions, lemon, sweet tomato, lettuce. You can even add in corn, spice, and so on. It's really good. There's so many other things too. Obviously, as a South American country, we play soccer quite a lot. So that's quite famous. I think in Peru, the most famous sport for men is soccer. And for females, it's volleyball.
Do they eat guinea pig in Peru or hamster?
Not guinea pig. Please not guinea pig.
People say, I've been told that they eat guinea pig.
No.
However, I personally have never had a guinea pig in my life.
Yeah, I always thought it was like, that was like one of like those like interesting facts from Peru. Like a lot of like a lot of people have that for dinner. And rice is also a huge with like rice and stuff.
Yes, that's true. But no, I think the main thing in Peru is probably fish, just because, well, we're like near a body of water. So I think fish is definitely the most popular thing to eat there.
Yeah, I definitely did not know that. there's definitely not a lot of meat on guinea pigs, I will say that, but
yeah,
I don't know. You do you. What do you think your favorite part of America has been, moving from Peru?
Oh man, that is hard. Well, obviously we came here because of my dad's work, but I think it definitely gave me a lot of new opportunities. Peru isn't always technically, if we're talking economic-wise, it's not always amazing. There's been some events where Peru has been a bit of a downfall and things have been happening. For example, there's a moment where I heard people from Venezuela came into Peru because of their own government and they started to do some not great things such as killing people and injuring people here, there in Peru. So it became a bit dangerous. It's always been a bit dangerous, at least compared to, for example, here in the U.S. Our police force isn't always the greatest. But I feel like it definitely just coming here, I think definitely because of the opportunities with school and everything. I feel like if I went to Peru, I would not have the chance to be able to apply to all these amazing schools and be able to attend such a prestigious school like Ignatius.
Is there any cartel activity in Peru?
If there were, I should probably keep it a secret. But as of, from what I know, I do not think so.
So Lima's the biggest city in Peru, correct?
Yes.
Have you ever been there?
I have. That's where I was born. But that is not where I lived. Not, I don't remember exactly the name where I lived for a while, but that is the main city.
If you could compare that to an American city, what would you compare it to?
It's hard because I actually did not go to Lima. I think I was in Lima when I was a kid. After that, I did not go to Lima back. So I do not remember that much about Lima. Right.
Are you a part of the, so like right now, talking about Peru actually, there's foreign exchange students at Ignatius right now. I think, what, like five or six of them?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, five of them. So they're staying just with some kids like for 2 weeks here. Are you a part of that and are you going to Peru in the summer?
Yeah, so I am a part of that. I'm not the primary host. I'm a secondary host to Hans, who also has an exchange student. And yeah, I am hoping that I can go to Peru. That'd be amazing. I haven't been there for quite a while. So that is my dream at some point. Definitely before college would be amazing. Because after college, it might be a bit hard to go there. But yeah, no, I've been trying to help them out a bit. We've been to a couple places before. I definitely have been talking mostly with Alejandro, who is Hans' student. And he's been really cool. I mean, I think it's just amazing that a lot of them are coming here. And I guess experiencing what I got to experience when I was, till this day, since I was five.
Yeah, I met Alejandro. He's really cool. It's fun to talk to. It's hilarious because he always, his running joke right now is he always says he's being kidnapped by Hans from Peru.
Yeah, my first time, Juan was actually in my physics class the other day with Alejandro, and I asked him, I was like, Alejandro, what do you think of Hans? He goes, he is very peculiar. And I'm like, oh, he's peculiar? He goes, so peculiar.
Yeah, Hans is a great guy, though. I love Hans.
Oh, yeah, shout out Hans. Shout out Hans.
Yep.
Maybe I'll have him on here one day. We'll see. I think that wraps up all the questions. I think we're going to move into a chess game now.